I'll call the next case, case number 21-1040, Hall versus Allstate Fire. Looks like we're missing one.
Yes, I'm sorry. I couldn't find it on my screen. I'm coming now. Thank you. Sorry.
Thank you. Mr. Levy?
Thank you, Your Honors, and good morning, and may it please the court and counsel, Mr. Hunger. I represent Robert Hall on this lawsuit against Allstate with respect to uninsured motorist benefits. And our position, we think, is pretty simple. This is not about figuring out the facts, but whether or not Allstate, in fact, presented sufficient evidence at a motion for summary judgment stage to allow the trial court to make the determinations that it did. And then whether or not the trial court then made some of its own factual findings and even legal determinations, which under Rule 56F should have required the trial court to advise us and give us an opportunity to respond. First thing I want to start off with here is that it is a big thing to take somebody's insurance away. And that's what happened here with respect to the summary judgment. And I want to talk about the facts that we in fact know and are undisputed were occurring. We have a person here who is undisputedly, through no fault of his own, sustained bodily injuries in a car crash after he had paid premiums to Allstate for uninsured motorist coverage. Allstate admitted that he was not liable. Allstate admitted that he was entitled to recover at least $25,011 by sending Mr. Hunger a check for $11. And so there's an admission here that he was injured, that his liability insurance that he was allowed to collect was insufficient. The public policy of Colorado is that uninsured motorist coverage is so important that it should not be diluted. And then we're going to take his insurance away that he paid for every month for years because his lawyer didn't return two phone calls and respond to three letters.
That's a lot of non-response, isn't it?
I'm sorry?
That is a lot of non-response by plaintiff's counsel.
A jury could certainly make that determination. And that's the whole point of our argument here today is that these are jury questions because maybe it's a lot of response. Because the other thing that is absolutely undisputed in this case is there was nothing to respond to at that point. The only thing that was promised in the April 8th letter.
Did plaintiff's counsel at the time tell Allstate that I will keep you informed, I will keep you updated? I give you this first packet of bills, but there's more to come, and I will be providing them.
No, Your Honor. I'm going to say no, because they did not make the promise to do all of that.
What did he promise?
I will continue to forward new records and bills as I receive them for your review. That was the only promise that was made, and that is at appellant's appendix, page 91.
And he invited communication, saying, if you require additional info, please let us know.
Correct.
And they did. They let him know. They required some additional info.
They asked for the status of treatment.
Uh-huh.
And then
they required additional info.
That's sort of very relevant in a personal injury case.
The status of treatment?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Sir. But what we do know
here. The patient died.
But what we do know here, and again, it's undisputed, that there was nothing else to report. There had been no receipt of any additional medical records.
Was he under treatment?
Apparently, he had gone to a doctor. But again,
Brain and Behavior Clinic. He started treating with the Brain and Behavior Clinic in June of 2019. These letters were between June and August of 2019.
Correct. These were 30 days.
How were they to know of that? How could they know without you telling them that he had started treating at the Brain and Behavior Clinic?
And Your Honor, with all due respect, I'm going to say, and I'm going to say this a lot. So what? So Allstate didn't know that particular fact. That did not impair their ability to continue to investigate the case. And this also kind of dovetails into our argument that the entire reliance on the what we call third party cooperation clause is ambiguous. If the insurance company is allowed to say, you know, we want you to drive to Trinidad and give us a statement, even though you live in Aurora, that's a request. That's a request that may not be made, but that requires there to be a reasonable request. So that's a fact.
I think what you're suggesting here is what you suggested in your brief, which is that, gee, they could have gotten a medical release.
Well, they did get a medical ruling.
And they could have done their own investigation. They did eventually through the litigation, but how was it they were supposed to get a medical release? Would they have sent that to the same counsel that wasn't responding or?
Well, that's a whole different request when the insurance company makes a request for a medical release, because that is a specific requirement under the insurance policy that most counsel know.
So we could assume that counsel would respond to that request? Is that what we do?
Well, we can't presume that they wouldn't, is what I'm going to say, Your Honor. We can't just infer these facts. These may be an excellent defense for the actual defense of the case to be presented. But as we set forth in our reply brief, this case is not about what are the best practices for plaintiffs in responding to insurance companies or what a lawyer should do. And then there's the whole question about whether or not the conduct of the lawyer can, in fact, be imputed to the client under a provision that requires forfeiture of the insurance policy for failing to return two phone calls and respond to three essential form letters asking for the status of treatment, when again, it's undisputed there was nothing else to report. Now, I want to talk about the fact questions that were sort of resolved here. First of all, I want to talk about how Allstate's entire summary judgment is premised upon an allegation that plaintiff admitted that when he submitted his initial demand letter on April 8th, he did not provide Allstate with all of his medical records. And that's just not factually accurate. That's fact number 19 in support for their summary judgment motion. They cite the response to request for admission 13, which is exhibit H to their motion for summary judgment at appellant's appendix at 119, which he doesn't say I had records that I didn't provide. He says I did not provide additional medical records, and Bill says I did not yet receive those records myself from the brain and behavior clinic. So that factually was inaccurate.
What about his obligation to respond if it's true what you're saying is, gosh, there was nothing to say, so he didn't have it. There wasn't anything there to report. He has an obligation after saying, I'm going to send you any continuing, anything I got, any bills, any records. He has an obligation then, if there are none and they're asking for them, to say, I don't have any more, or I'm not aware of any more. But that didn't happen either.
And Your Honor, I would say, I'm sorry, I apologize. I don't mean to be interrupting.
That's all right. But that didn't happen either. I mean, I don't.
But nor is there some obligation. An insured is not required.
It's obligation to cooperate. That's what we're talking about here. Okay. Cooperation would require that you say, oh, sorry, you sent me all these letters and you're asking me for more information, but I don't have any.
Well, with all due respect, Your Honor, I would suggest that cooperation would require them to submit the bills and records that they promised to submit. Allstate concedes that it's their obligation to do the investigation. It's their obligation to get the information unless they are promised otherwise. Now, Your Honor, I'm going to suggest there is no law in Colorado, and the Colorado Supreme Court would not support a finding that simply that there is a requirement under every insurance policy to respond to every letter and to respond to every phone call.
I don't think that's what anyone suggested. But
even if there were one. I'm sorry, Your Honor. I apologize.
So you say there's not a requirement to respond to all letters or all communications. How about a response and not just blow it all off? And you weren't the lawyer below, were you, in the original case?
I was not.
Look,
and Your Honor,
this seems
again,
to be a malpractice issue.
I'm not going to tell you that's best practices, but that does not result in a forfeiture of your property rights for your insurance policy, which requires intentional and deliberation, which the trial court in fact found. So the other thing I want to point out here are the fact questions that the trial court came to that we think was inappropriate. First of all, it is undisputed that all information known before the suit or all documents and records, which is the only thing that was provided or promised, was provided. Allstate says, quote, Allstate was unaware that Hall was not cooperating until the suit was filed. And that, we think, is at least a fact question, because Allstate had 4 months where they're claiming they didn't get responses to letters. And they should have done exactly what the insurance carrier did in the Sechrest case and sent out a notice and said, we think this is a violation of your policy and reserving our rights to deny coverage, which would have then given them.
Does it matter here that counsel told Allstate, I will provide you with updates?
Not for the technical legal, is there a legal violation under Colorado law showing a deliberate and intentional refusal to cooperate?
So the plaintiff can just sort of hide out, let things pass, have the bills mount up, tell the insurance company, we'll get back to you, we'll get back to you. And they never do. And then bring suit and say, hey, you need to pay us a whole bunch of money because I have these big medical bills. Does that seem right to you?
It's not a violation of the contract. Now, you may say
the duty to cooperate is not in the contract.
The duty to cooperate, well, as we have argued, the duty to cooperate requires the providing of medical authorizations, providing of an examination under oath. None of the things that Allstate asked for. The duty to cooperate does not encompass, and this is part of our brief. It's ambiguous. The way it is, the way it is interpreted by Allstate, that the duty to cooperate requires us to do anything that the insurance company decides it asks at any particular point, is too broad.
Are you saying the requests by the insurance company were unreasonable?
Well, I'm saying a jury could have found that the requests were unreasonable. A jury could have found that the response was not unreasonable because there was nothing to report.
A reasonable jury or just a jury?
Well, I'm going to say a reasonable jury.
There
and
you
I
go.
Think we're on a slippery slope when we say that an insured loses all of their insurance benefits because a lawyer doesn't return a couple of phone calls or a few letters. But then what is the material prejudice? The material prejudice is just alleged and asserted to be, well, we had to defend a bad faith lawsuit, not a contract lawsuit, not an unreasonable delay lawsuit, but a bad faith lawsuit.
Well, that's reality, isn't it? Isn't that reality? They did have to do that. And weren't they prejudiced by that?
No. There are lots of reasons why people bring a lawsuit. What is the evidence as to why this lawsuit was brought in this case? And the answer is there is none. What is the evidence? Last time I did this research, Allstate was the number one defendant in bad faith lawsuits for uninsured motorist cases. Had something like over 70. And in most of those, claimed a failure to cooperate.
Is that in our record?
No, it is not.
Okay.
But how do we know that a bad faith lawsuit would not have occurred anyway? Allstate alleges that it is Hall's burden to prove mistake or inadvertence. We disagree. But this is a finding that the trial court made that went, again, something that would have required us to do. Allstate makes the argument of counsel that the conduct was unmistakably intentional, but there is not a single fact to support that. As the court says that, it was not a mistake. There is simply no evidence for that one way or the other. And
so when you're repeatedly asked, both by letter and telephone, and you get no response, isn't there some whisper of intent to not respond?
Well, if that were the case, and there may be some case law that could support that, the trial court did not make that finding. And so for this summary judgment to be upheld, the trial court would have had to have made these specific findings of fact, but the trial court didn't. It talked about what might have occurred and what may have occurred. And if I may, I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Hunger?
May it please the court, my name is Robert Hunger and I represent Allstate in this matter. Your honors, the material facts here are undisputed and this case truly is an outlier that shows how easily this outcome could have been avoided. It is undisputed, as the court mentioned, that Allstate called or wrote to counsel five times in an effort to investigate the claim, yet counsel never picked up the phone or otherwise responded. It is undisputed that plaintiff was receiving treatment, medical treatment from the Brain and Behavior Clinic and experienced wage loss during the relevant time period, yet counsel did not disclose this information to Allstate. And it is undisputed that instead of responding to Allstate, instead of informing Allstate of plaintiff's medical treatment or wage loss, and instead of simply telling Allstate to acquire the information on its own, counsel instead opted to sue Allstate for bad faith. Now, to be sure, cooperating with an investigation is not burdensome. And here, had counsel simply told Allstate about Mr. Hall's treatment at the Brain and Behavior Clinic, And had counsel simply told Allstate that Mr. Hall had or potentially had a wage loss claim, we would not be here today. The presence of additional medical treatment and the existence of a wage loss claim would have only served to increase the value of plaintiff Mr. Hall's claim. So there is absolutely no reason not to have disclosed this. And as the Colorado Supreme Court said in State Farm versus Brecky, if the insured cooperates, it will provide, quote, extensive information, quote, that allows the insurance company to investigate and evaluate the claim. And as Judge Domenico recognized below in granting summary judgments, if cooperation means anything, it means returning phone calls. And Your Honors, there are, if I have time, there are 5 points that I would like to specifically address today. One, the prejudice that Allstate sustained. Two, the impact of Krabari versus Allstate. Three, the authorization issue. Four, the suggestion that there was no additional information to provide. And five, the intent or the alleged sua sponte nature of Judge Domenico's order. On the first point, I think it is important to specify that the prejudice here is not just limited to counsel's pre-litigation conduct, but rather it is a combination of the promise to provide information, the refusal to communicate with Allstate despite Allstate's multiple overtures, the non-disclosure of medical treatment and wage loss information, and the filing of the bad faith lawsuit. And so in this light, the prejudice arises because counsel prevented Allstate from completing a reasonable investigation and then sued Allstate for bad faith for failing to complete. Yes, Your Honor.
When you have opposing counsel acting as this counsel was acting, didn't it become apparent to Allstate that they were getting nothing from this guy? And they, if they were going to protect their own interests, they needed to seek medical information. Because there might be something going on here, and they might have to pay a lot of money if they don't find out what's going on.
Yes, Your Honor. I believe in the first instance, Allstate was justified in relying on counsel's representation that additional records and expenses would be provided.
Yeah, that's said initially, but then you have all this non-activity on the plaintiff's part after that.
Yes, Your Honor, and I think that you may be getting to the question of whether a wage loss authorization should have been requested. And the problem there is that during this relevant time frame, I believe it's from June to August of 2019, Allstate was completely unaware that Mr. Hall was treating at the Brain and Behavior Clinic. So even if it had previously acquired a medical records authorization, it would have had absolutely no idea where to send it, because it didn't know for purposes of this claim that the Brain and Behavior Clinic even existed. And similarly, on the wage loss issue, there would have been simply no reason for Allstate to have requested a wage loss authorization, because counsel at no point informed Allstate or even suggested that there was a wage loss claim at issue. And on the prejudice issue, I believe that counsel's non-cooperation here is precisely what caused the lawsuit. Plaintiff alleges that Allstate, in bad faith, failed to properly investigate his medical expenses and wage loss. But counsel's conduct was what prevented Allstate from properly investigating the medical expenses and wage loss in the first place. And so in other words, counsel's conduct really placed Allstate in the untenable position of denying coverage or paying the claim without the means to investigate its validity. And I believe this prejudice has been recognized by a number of courts in the past, which included a panel of this court in Krabari versus Allstate, the Colorado Court of Appeals in Windhorst versus State Farm, and an August 2021 decision from the District of Kansas, which is Hall Lopez versus State Farm. The site there is 2021 Westlaw 3602601, which held that under Krabari, prejudice exists where a failure to cooperate forces an insurance company to defend a bad faith suit. And contrary to the statements or arguments that plaintiff made in the briefs, the existence of a lawsuit in and of itself, I don't believe is necessarily evidence of sufficient prejudice. So when there's only a claim for benefits and there's no bad faith or statutory claim, there's no prejudice there. And similarly, I don't believe there would be sufficient prejudice when there is a bad faith claim, but the bad faith claim is not caused by the non-cooperation. So, for example, in a UIM claim, if an insured refuses to produce or authorize wage loss information, for example, that in and of itself could be evidence of the first element of the defense, the non-cooperation. However, if in the ensuing lawsuit, the insured does not claim that the insurance company in bad faith failed to investigate the wage loss claim, there, because the wage loss information, wage loss investigation is not part of the bad faith claim, the non-cooperation did not cause the bad faith suit. But that's simply not what happened here, as I mentioned earlier. And
part of the allegation here is a bad faith claim. Is that right?
Yes, Your Honor. There is a claim for the underlying benefits. There is a bad faith claim, and there is a statutory unreasonable delay denial.
So when you're talking about bad faith, it's plaintiff's claim that the insurance company acted in bad faith.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And you're saying non-cooperation has nothing to do with that?
I'm saying that when there is non-cooperation that results in a lawsuit that includes a bad faith claim, that is evidence of sufficient prejudice on behalf of the insurance company. So it's the second element of the failure to cooperate defense.
Counsel, when did Allstate raise the lack of cooperation? Before the lawsuit was filed or afterwards?
Your Honor, Allstate first raised the defense of non-cooperation in its answer and affirmative defenses after the lawsuit was filed. And that was because the prejudice really didn't completely manifest or wasn't perfected until the lawsuit was filed. Then on my second point on Kribari, I am acutely aware that this court is likely rather familiar with the Kribari decision. So I will do my best to avoid a long-winded recitation of the matter. But I do feel that it is important to note that in Kribari, a panel of this court did make a few holdings as a matter of law. And that's one, prejudice exists if a failure to cooperate causes the insurance company to have to defend a bad faith lawsuit. And two, an insured cannot cure any prejudice after initiating a bad faith lawsuit. And in his reply, plaintiff claims that Kribari was wrong on the law and simply doesn't apply here. But I don't believe that either of those statements are true, as Kribari correctly interpreted Colorado law, including by referencing Windhorse versus State Farm. And moreover, if anything, the case at bar really presents a more extreme case of non-cooperation and prejudice than Kribari. And that's because in Kribari, there was this ongoing back and forth between counsel and the insurer. And the insurer argued that while counsel provided some of the requested information, counsel withheld other information. And so the Kribari plaintiff could argue that she broadly did cooperate with the insurer's investigation. And counsel there retained experts to calculate the plaintiff's wage loss and future surgery costs before litigation. And so the insurance company knew that the plaintiff had a wage loss claim and may need surgery, but didn't have this particular calculation or these particular calculations. But here, in the case at bar, there really was no cooperation whatsoever, as counsel literally refused to engage with Allstate. And so while the Kribari insurer knew that the insured was forwarding a wage loss claim, but experienced difficulties in obtaining specific wage loss information, here, Allstate didn't even know that a wage loss claim was on the table, and that's because counsel never disclosed this information to Allstate and refused to discuss the claim with Allstate. And while the Kribari insurer knew that the insured may need future surgery, but did not know how much the surgery would cost, here, because of counsel's conduct, Allstate didn't even know that Mr. Hall was treating at the Brain and Behavior Clinic. And so here there was no back and forth like there was in Kribari. And because of counsel's conduct, Allstate really wasn't even able to get past square one. Another point I'd like to address is that in the briefs and earlier today, plaintiff has asserted that before filing the lawsuit, counsel had no additional information to provide before the lawsuit was filed. And I just believe that this was demonstrably inaccurate. And that's because it is undisputed that plaintiff was treating at the Brain and Behavior Clinic during this relevant time period, and that counsel had not previously told Allstate about the clinic. This is in the record at Appellant's Appendix pages 111 and pages 215 through 216. It is also undisputed that plaintiff sustained wage loss at the end of 2018 and beginning of 2019, but counsel never told Allstate about this potential wage loss. And this is in the record at Appellant's Appendix pages 82 through 83, 126, 141, 364 to 365. And it is also in Allstate's appellate brief at pages 25 through 27. And this argument, just from a broader perspective, I think really misses the forest for the trees. That's because the failure to cooperate here is not limited to the failure to produce a specific document, but rather the non-cooperation and prejudice is a combination of the refusal to discuss the claim with Allstate, the non-disclosure of plaintiff's medical treatment and wage loss claim, and the bad faith lawsuit. And so this,
could you address, while you still have some time, his argument about the whether or not Allstate had to show that he refused to cooperate in bad faith, and he relies on the Knugris, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly, and Secrets cases on that. There's some language in there that he's relying on.
Yeah, I'd be happy to, Your Honor. I believe that plaintiff is incorrect on the law here. And that's because initially, I believe plaintiff does have the burden. As the Knugris case, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, from the 1940s, it refers to a failure to cooperate being potentially excused if the insured did not act intentionally and did not act in bad faith. And so I believe by using the phrase excused, the court assumes that the non-cooperation was proved in the first instance. So the lack of a mistake or the intent issue would be something that the plaintiff or the insured would have to demonstrate. And in the brief, plaintiff references State Farm versus Secrest or Secrest, but Secrest, I don't believe, suggests that it is the insurer's burden to make this demonstration. And just on the substance of the matter, given the undisputed facts, Your Honor, really only one reasonable inference can be drawn here. That's that counsel's conduct was not the result of a mere mistake. No, counsel did not respond to five.
Was it bad faith? Was it bad faith?
Your Honor, I don't
believe the plaintiff.
Your Honor, I don't believe that it is necessary for Allstate to demonstrate that the plaintiff acted in bad faith, and I don't believe that plaintiff showing a lack of bad faith would salvage the claim. I believe the issue is whether it was the result of a mistake or whether it was intentional. And counsel did not respond to five phone calls and letters, did not provide Allstate with information about plaintiff's treatment, and did not provide Allstate with information about plaintiff's wage loss. Instead, he sued Allstate for bad faith. And just very briefly, I don't believe that Judge Domenico issued a sua sponte order because the intent was directly addressed in Allstate's opening brief and the briefings below. Thank you very much, Your Honors.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you. Maybe there was clerical errors. There just was not a determination. Allstate didn't even reference any deliberate and intentional conduct and bad faith conduct, as Judge Domenico did in his order, as being required.
Before,
yes, sir.
Before you filed the bad faith lawsuit, did you contact Allstate and discuss the situation with them?
No, sir.
You just filed the suit?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
This appears to be the offending act here that Allstate is complaining of. And
well,
in fact,
are you surprised at that?
Your Honor, I don't take this as a good sign for
all lawyers. Yes. You've got to pony up to the bar and
tell us
what really happened.
Every citizen is allowed to bring
a lawsuit. You guys set Allstate up, it looks like.
Well, that allegation wasn't made, and there's been no finding of that. And I also want to point out that the court did not find there was insufficient evidence for bad faith. The court just found there was this failure to cooperate. The Allstate
lack of cooperation.
Correct. But the court did not enter an order. The Allstate policy itself at Appellant's Appendix 256, says that if there's no agreement on what to do with uninsured motorists, you must bring a lawsuit.
It is what I'm saying.
It's contemplated by the contract. The Allstate contract says if you don't like what we're offering, you must bring a lawsuit. So this idea that a lawsuit
don't bother to call us and tell us.
Is there a legal requirement under the law that we have to tell you who we're going to go see next week, what we're going to do? And folks, I have to apologize, but Kabari is so distinguishable, as is Windhorse. They're both unpublished opinions. And I just want to make sure to get that out there, because in Kabari, the allegation was there was a specific request and a specific promise by the lawyer. Yes, I will go to
the doctor. You don't practice in New Mexico.
Counsel, your time.
I apologize, Your Honor. I didn't hear that last, but my time is up. Thank you all for your time this morning.
Thank you, counsel. Thanks to both of you. We appreciate your arguments. They've been helpful. And we will submit the case, and counsel are excused.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.